Francois, as you've been hearing in the news, human remains have been found in France in the search for the body of Seamus Ruddy, one of the disappeared. His sister, Anne Morgan, is in France and can talk to us now. Good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning, Vinnie.
A difficult question to answer, I'm sure, but can you put into words what this will mean if it is confirmed to be Seamus's remains?
It will just be absolutely wonderful to be able to take his remains home and to give him a Christian burial. We have thought about this and dreamt about this day, but it has now come, hopefully, when the remains are identified. And we will be ready to take him back to Newry.
He was 32 years old when he went missing teaching in Paris in 1985, shot dead by the INLA. It must feel for you and your family like this continual nightmare that never seemed to end.
Yes, I think in Seamus's case, because he was here in France, we had a more difficult task through the years because it is not easy. You know, going through all the bureaucracy of the French system to get a search carried out. So it has taken a lot of effort on behalf of the ICLVR, who have been with us all the way since the peace process began in 1999.
Did you ever give up hope that you'd get to this point, Anne, that you would find him?
Well, no. Through the years, I've always been hopeful. I probably gave up hope on Friday because I was leaving Rouen and I had boarded a train to go back to Paris and then to continue home when I got the phone call to say that remains had been found.
And how do you feel when you, after so many years, 32 odd years, when you hear that?
Well, I was just completely taken by surprise. I was just very, very emotional and I could hardly speak. And I was not as controlled as I am today. And it was just overwhelming.
This is obviously a bit of a bittersweet time for you and the family. You've got closure for the family, but then this new phase in the grieving process will begin between now and this is once again, assuming that they do confirm they are Seamus's remains, to the point where you get to give him that burial that you've wanted for so long now.
Yeah, I think that the grieving process we've come through it a certain degree over the years, and whenever a search was taking place here in France, you know, that grieving process was being it was being rushed, if you know what I mean. And then now things now will slow down, and the family who are all in Newry will be patiently waiting for him to return. So we'll be, you know, we're strong people. Excuse me.
This isn't the first time, of course, that there has been a search that they've attempted to try and find him. So obviously that would have been in the back of your mind when this was happening and when you were out there, when you made the journey to France.
That's right. You know, I had been here in 2000 when the first search took place, and that lasted 6 hours. Then I came back in 2008, and the forensic team were in charge at that particular search, and that search took 4 days. And so on two occasions I've been present in France when the results were negative and I had to return without him. But this time now, it's more joyful in one respect.
Yeah.
Because I will be able to take him home at some stage.
Can you put into words on what this ordeal, which has lasted for over 30 years, has done to you and your family, going through that constant search on a daily basis?
I think it was very, very difficult for the family from the very beginning. And as it was the case, the troubles were still going on at the time. And whenever Seamus first disappeared and we began to ask questions, that was the time when we were given a death threat and we were told we were not allowed to speak about it. And the family had to be quiet.
And where did that death threat come from?
The death threat came from the INLA. And it just meant that we had to be quiet. And probably people were wondering why we weren't talking about it. But we were under the threat. And, you know, so those first 10 years were very, 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 very difficult. But the peace process came in and Seamus's name was on the list of the disappeared. And then that's when it came out really into the open as such, you know.
When did you find out, yeah, Anne, that he was dead, in terms of in 1985 when he disappeared? And when did it move from becoming hoping that he would reappear, that he would come home one day, to knowing that that was never going to happen?
Yeah, well, in 1995, there was a news report. It was from a member of the INLA who released a statement. And in that statement, he said that Seamus was dead. And it was the first confirmation.
Did you know, had you suspected that he was gone? Had you any doubt after the initial few days passed when he disappeared in 85?
Yeah, well, it was quite difficult because we were in Newry and he was in Paris and he was teaching in Paris. And it was his colleagues in Paris who informed us that he hadn't turned up for work, and then they'd gone to his flat and he wasn't there, you know, so... And his passports were still in the flat. And, you know, there were signs that, you know, he had just gone out, yeah, you know, whatever for.
But you live in hope, Anne.
Never come back. Yes, definitely. Definitely. I was always hoping. And I was always searching for him, in a sense. When I would go out, in crowds, I was always looking for his face. And that may sound strange to people, but... I never sort of gave up hope, you know. I always was, you know, maybe, there's always a maybe. Maybe he is still around, maybe. You know, I wasn't convinced, in fact, that he was dead, if you know what I mean. The brain, I suppose, just, you know, plays tricks with you, you know. And even on one occasion, I was in a bar and a fella came in and he was standing with his back to us at the bar, and I thought it looks very like him, same set as him, you know. He wasn't that tall and dark hair and curly hair, not in this. And I thought, my God, that looks like him. So in the end, I did go up to this man and I said, excuse me. And I just said, have you any relatives living in Northern Ireland? I didn't know what really to say to him. And he said, no, he was a Southern Irish man. And I said, hey, he looks very, very like you. You must be his twin. You know, so those occasions did happen, you know, where, and I'd say that the rest of the family were the same. There probably were times when they, you know, looked at someone and thought, well, maybe that is him. You know, the passage of time does a lot of, you know, strange things.
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily make it any easier for you, Anne?
No, it has never made it easier. No. Definitely not. And sort of entering into the grieving process, you know, way back in 1985, it has been a struggle really to remain positive and to have hope, you know. So it has been a very, very difficult 32 years, really.
Quite often it pops up in the news now and again, Anne, when we hear about the disappeared, whatever update or investigation is underway, and then it can be easy to forget about the people that have gone. They become just a name or just one of the number, and the people that are associated with them. So what was Seamus, what was he like?
Seamus was a happy-go-lucky fella. who would have been very passionate about, you know, politics. He, you know, he would have been able to talk to anyone about any of the international affairs that were going on. He was very bright, and he had gone to Trinity College, and, you know, he was an intelligent, happy-go-lucky young man.
And do you remember the last time you saw a man? It's a long time ago, but I'm sure that's something that sticks out in your mind.
Yes, 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 I do remember it vividly, because I was here in Paris with a group of school children from my school. I taught in St. Mary's School in Newry, and we were on a French trip, and Seamus came with us while we were touring around Paris, and he came on the coach, and he took us to some very interesting places that he had found out about. And on the last night that I saw him, I met him at the Sacré-Cœur Church in Paris, and we went back to his apartment, and we sat to the early hours of the morning talking and laughing and, you know, carrying on. And the next morning he got up and he went to work, and he just left me a note, and I still have the note, explaining to me how I could get back to the school group. I had to go back and meet up with the school group. And that was the very, very last time that I spoke or seen Seamus alive.
There will be people on listening this morning that will say that, you know, Seamus was involved in republicanism, and, you know, his murder was by former associates in the INLA. How do you feel about that when you reflect back on his life?
Well, it really is. Seamus lived his life the way he wanted to live his life. What he did it in a private manner. The family were totally unaware of anything that Seamus was doing.
Yeah, I guess the reason I ask is, do you ever feel frustration towards him because you loved him dearly, he was your brother, mm-hmm. and the situation that he ended up in at the end?
No. Seamus lived his life the way he wanted to live his life, and he was committed to that life. You know, it ended tragically in a forest in France. We would prefer him to be here, of course, mm-hmm. but that wasn't the case. And then it meant that we just had to get on with it. It was only after Seamus died that we then began to realise, you know, about his other life, which we had no control over. And during this time, during the 32 years, I have always said, even to, you know, the INLA or whoever, I am looking for my brother. And I maintain that, because that's the reason why I looked for him. He was my brother. He wasn't a member of an organisation. He wasn't this other person.
Yeah.
Because we did not know about that.
Many victims' families, and they want their day in court. They want to see the killers prosecuted for taking their loved ones.
Well, in 1999, the families of the disappeared agreed during the peace process that we would give that side of our recovery, just leave it there. Our justice is not being looked at in the court. We are not going to court to prosecute anyone who's carried out these offences. We are not going to try and get them to, you know, apologise or anything else. We are not doing that. And the families of the disappeared have stood by this commitment that we want justice. And the justice for us is not in the court ring, but it is to get the remaining bodies back home and give them a Christian burial.
Is there not a little part of you, Anne, that would like to see whoever is responsible for taking your brother prosecution, some kind of punishment in some way?
No. I mean, the being a member of the disappeared is a very complicated area. And I would never have got Seamus back if I had been looking for prosecution. I would not, never have got him.
Difficult compromise and to make.
Very, very difficult. Very difficult. But it was the best way for the families of the disappeared to get their loved ones home. We
yes.
needed to let the men of Ireland know that we are not out to take them through the courts. We don't want that. And we're not going to do that. We're not. But we were just and you know, the people who came forward and gave the information about where Seamus was, they're the people really that I would thank, you know, that they came forward. And I would also appeal to those who know or may know some details about the remaining three disappeared who are still waiting. There's three families still waiting, to come forward and to give the information. And the information will be given in a confidential style. Nothing will be leaked out. And through this process since 2005, 2006, no information has ever gone back. So it is watertight.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anyone to come forward with information concerning the others.
And the find at the weekend, who we are assuming is your brother, is Seamus. This came after new information was passed to the Commission. And of course, that information then is protected from prosecution. Do you have any unease with that? Or is that just a means to an end? This is what, a price worth paying to get Seamus home?
That's exactly right. We wouldn't be taking Seamus home if I had said, you know, I'm going through the courts and I want these people persecuted. I am not, that is not the way of it. That is not the way of it. And I feel that we should be, you know, working towards this. And I think, you know, with regard to the peace process in Northern Ireland, you know, that the families of the disappeared need to be given some relief and they need their loved ones home. And we need, you know, as a society in Northern Ireland, I think we need to be working towards more reconciliation and helping those who have information to come forward.
And that's what some people might find difficult this morning, Anne. Earlier, a few minutes ago, you said that you would thank the people that passed over the information that has led to the hopeful discovery of your brother's remains. And they might say, well, there's a good chance, there's a possibility that those people, the people with that information, are in some way connected to the death of your brother. Mm-hmm. And then in a roundabout way, you may be thanking the people that led your brother to his death.
Yeah, well, that's the paradox of this. We had to enter into this process and encourage those who had the information to come forward and give it to us. You know, I wouldn't be talking about remains in a forest being found if we hadn't entered into that process. And that process has been instrumental in finding these remains. And, you know, this will be the eighth body that has been found by the forensic team since 2006. So the process is there, the people are there, the experts are there to recover these bodies.
Yeah,
they're the ones that we need to be encouraging. And this is why, you know, we need to keep appealing, you know, to those who may know something about the other disappeared to come forward.
Well, what would you say, Anne? Because obviously you come from a point of unfortunate experience in terms of those three families. The families and friends of those people that are still unfound, you know what they'll be going through. So what would you say to them to try and encourage them to keep hope?
Well, I would say to keep the hope in their hearts, and if need be, if they have to go and talk to people who may have information, or, you know, the people may be able to influence others to go to them, you know, and try and get this information. I think, you know, We have to support them. We have to support those three families, because I can appreciate the support that I received through the years, and a lot of that support came from the other families, and also the WAVE trauma group. They were instrumental in keeping our spirits up, and the other families who are still waiting, they will appreciate that we, who have had, you know, who are going to have our loved ones back, that we will still be with them in spirit and encouraging them to keep going.